podcast has changed my life.
Chad, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Bubbly's still there.
You know what I've missed this time around with the COVID? And obviously it's all bad, et cetera, but what I've missed this time around is I feel like in 2021, there aren't as many friends of mine on Facebook who have gone full amateur epidemiologist.
Totally.
You know, first time around, there's like some guy who's got a computer science degree or whatever, and he's like, great, guys, I'm holding weekly Zooms with a Q&A with my friend who went to med school, and we're answering all the questions.
Can I say, when you started the premise for this observation, I was extremely behind you. But then it's, you know, the guy with the engineering degree who pairs with and does a Zoom. I'm like, no, I'm just thinking like a post or two, being like, stay safe, guys. Like general public
health. A lot of really intense engineering types.
Yeah.
No, but I know
it sounded way more intense.
There's a guy that runs comedy shows in Sydney that had a Q&A.
About COVID.
Well, he had the fire twirler.
He had the fire twirler on.
Yeah, from the crazy rally. And they were like trying to talk quite intellectually about all
this
stuff.
It was so awesome because it was basically the guy that was interviewing him has worked in hospitality for years, obviously runs a comedy live venue, wants things to open up quite quickly.
Big time.
Meeting of the minds with the fire twirler guy at the Sydney lockdown protest. The fire twirler guy, I was watching live, looking, I was screen capping, hoping for, because this was newsworthy at the time, that fire twirler guy.
Because I think
he's had
the only interview.
I think so. It was an exclusive. I filmed the whole thing and I sent it to my friend who's a journalist, being like, if you're interested. And she went, thank
fire
you.
Fire twirler speaks.
Not really, didn't say anything. Like, she could not have been less interested. But I like the idea of breaking news. But he was not wearing a shirt the whole time.
Great.
He was stood up the whole time. Not only just stood up throughout the whole interview, pacing back and forth.
Incredible.
At some point, it was Facebook Live.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the Facebook Live is the medium of the unhinged.
It truly is.
No one's going live on Facebook when they've got when they've done actual research.
Yeah, and they go Facebook Stories as well. Yeah. It's the same thing. You're like, who the fuck is doing that?
You know,
and then they're
Facebook
like, oh, it's the fire twirler.
Facebook Stories give you a bit of like an example of what's going to be in the story.
Yeah. Like a little thumbnail.
It's all fucking angles and weird.
It's not right.
It doesn't look fun in
it's
there.
Bad,
I've never clicked
bad,
it.
Just on that, there's been a bunch of people on my Facebook feed. It's the kind of person who's changed their Facebook name 7 years ago when they thought, Zuckerberg or whatever was going to take their data.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm posting this to limit the liability of Facebook.
And they've changed their name
no longer
to give permission.
Yeah. To Ziffy Doodah or, you know, it's some wacky name like that, you know. And then and you just look at it and you're like, who the fuck is this? And you've got to click on their profile picture, which is now just the fucking anonymous mask or whatever. You've got to scroll back through like eight of their pictures to like, oh, that's Darren.
Totally.
And I feel like this has brought back so many of them, and it's been a great opportunity to unfriend some people, you know?
Oh, yeah, because you'd never see them otherwise.
Yeah, but it's just the people who are... It's specifically the kind of person who changed their Facebook name.
Yeah. I love the logic of that, of like, yeah, this international tech corporation that knows everywhere I've been probably for every second over the last 8 years, but I'm going to change my name to Schmeichel.
They won't get it.
They won't find me at all.
Who am I now, genius? You can't catch me.
So the fire twirler on the Zoom.
I mean, the other thing I can remember. I mean, look, I don't personally like mounting insults at like the lockdown protests, for example, or people who are vaccine hesitant. I feel like it's very normal to be vaccine hesitant. It's a scary time. Mm-hmm. I think the protests, it's kind of normal to be angry. It's a crazy time. I don't like general, but this guy, fire twirler guy, is one of the dumbest guys I've ever seen speak. Like, he could barely put words together. Like, it was crazy. I was begging for him to say something controversial, but he wasn't even...
There was no, like, analogy about the fire twirlers meaning, like, that the fire's representing the vaccine in your body or something.
Okay, so two things happened. One is it went for a long time.
Sure.
It became night during the broadcast.
Wonderful.
And perfect. You stopped being able to really see him. And so there were only like 11 people watching. I was one of them. Someone was like, turn the light on, mate. And they didn't get around to that for about 10 minutes. So he became kind of like in the darkness and then eventually turned the light on. But he was also described being arrested. And I thought this might be interesting for my journalist friend, but apparently not.
Mm.
He wasn't arrested during the lockdown protests. I don't think. But he was arrested a few days later because apparently, I think down at Maroubra Beach is where he kind of hangs out and fire twirls.
Oh, okay.
He was fire twirling and doing a handstand, which is apparently something he's known for in the community, that he was like, I'm known for, like, you can't arrest me.
This
for
is my move.
Yeah, it's my move. He was doing that, which he's known for, and his exercise, which I believe that is exercise.
Okay, yeah.
He then stopped doing that, was watching videos of himself doing it on his phone. Mm-hmm. And that's when the cop said, came and pinged. Said, you got pinged for not exercising. And he was like, I was reviewing my exercise. So that's
I'm back on his side.
Every athlete does that. Back, you know? This is watching game footage with the coach.
He's got to be protest coming
up. But imagine
he's
getting caught by the cops looking at yourself shirtless doing a handstand, being like, this is important work.
The indignity of it all.
The cops down at the station would have been heroes. Because as if they didn't talk about the fire twirler guy.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, yeah, we finally got him. Okay, we brought him in.
They were waiting around the corner for sure.
Have you guys talked on the podcast at all about Sam Taunton's wonderful bit about Sydney lockdown that can't be done anymore?
We haven't.
No. It's a good, King, thanks for bringing it.
It was a great 10 minutes. I saw you crush with that bit. In Sydney, in Melbourne. But several galas I saw you crush with that. It was great. It was great stuff.
And it's gone. It's gone, mate.
And I don't think we don't send off jokes enough. You know, well, it was a great 10 minutes.
Dude, that is so true because I don't think...
Well, I think the opposite should happen is we should go back retrospectively and take back the laughs because it turned out to be wrong.
Actually, it's not. Can you give us a lot of people of that joke?
The joke was basically that Sydney is better than Melbourne. No, Sydney is perfectly designed for COVID because you can't get anywhere in Sydney.
Because we've got terrible public transport.
Yes.
And segmented geography, not a centralised kind of city.
Absolutely, it's spread out. And also the culture of Sydneysiders anyway to not want to leave, even if they can. It's actually not that hard to get around, but they just choose not to, whatever.
Love their name.
And then there's a few funny other little bits I pop in there, and then it comes back around.
It's a very good bit.
All right, mate.
But it was sort of a certified crusher for 6 months, mate.
Oh, mate, yeah, it was absolutely. It was just like, I just had 10 minutes that I could do.
But you know what it's like? It's like the bit that Barack Obama did at the... yearly press thing
White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah. And he had all these jokes written by like people that write for The Daily Show and stuff at Trump's expense because he was there. And it was all about how he's a loser for running for president and how, like, what an idiot. Yeah. It's like, didn't date well.
Dude, it's kind of like 5 months ago, if I was the president if I had the best 10-minute chunk about how... We fixed Afghanistan, and the Taliban were gone.
The job's done, whatever.
Could accomplish better.
Because I've had so many people, like comedians, and even just like people that have come to my shows, like just random people messaging me being like, I was thinking about that bit you did the other day. Yeah, really dated badly, didn't it?
In the same way that people kind of accuse those jokes Barack Obama made as encouraging Trump to run for office, humiliating him almost into action. Could you be then held accountable for the spread of COVID in Sydney?
Do you think COVID was like, I'm not going to put up with this?
This guy's like, we can do. Well, I didn't even know about the Delta variant. Like at the time.
This is why you need to do more research before you joke
Maybe
around.
Maybe I'll do it when stand-up comes back. I'll do it like...
One last time.
You know when you see sketch artists and they're like, all right, so for the next bit, I'm playing a teacher and then they do the sketch. I'll say, all right, so for the next bit, Delta variant hasn't gotten to Australia yet.
That's such a funny idea. You'd be like, hey, guys, just for this next bit, just pretend it's April 2021, okay? April 2021, and then do the whole...
That has been. Kill. Have you seen like Phil Wang's special, for example? I feel like a bunch of people who have written bits pre-COVID and want to do them after, they'll have a little sentence like, I hope this all applies, ha ha ha. And then like you can kind of tell it's written before, but it all applies. It's about dating or something.
Totally, whatever.
You just do a similar kind of intro, but then it's just the fucking most inapplicable, just wrong.
People have been through 11, 13, 15 weeks of lockdown and so it's just like, Sydney will never get done for COVID.
This is one of those things where it's like shopping still exists. It's like, no.
It was a misstep. Hey, but in the moment, and that's all you can do, in the moment, it was a great little thing to have in my back pocket.
Yeah.
Could pull it out. Big laughs, big bit of fun.
But it's gone.
Yeah, you know what? I've got to believe I can write another 10 minutes of good material. I've got to believe, King.
Yes.
Got to believe.
I wonder, as a comedian, what's the appropriate feeling there? Like, as your colleague, right?
That's true.
Should I be... like, jealously, should I be happy that Taunts no longer has this great bit? Or am I like,
feel, absolutely not.
I mean, that's the wrong, like, what are you talking about?
What world is that thing?
It was never your bit. Any, like, what
no,
do you mean?
It's not like
you.
Just like,
he wants
like,
you to fail as a competitor.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, Taunts, now his comedy, now his comedy.
Mate, you're doing
sucks.
All right. You've got a radio show. You're hosting a new TV show.
He still wants
what
you
are you worried about the fucking 7 minutes of last
I
was getting?
I don't care about my success. I just want to see everyone else fail.
Right, because then it will prop, because then you'll be the last one standing.
It's all comparative. It reminds me of a Goosebumps book.
Does it?
It was called Be Careful What You Wish For.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
had a number of wishes. She wished that that everyone would buzz off and they all turned into bees, which is not what she intended. She just wanted them to like leave
she
the room.
She did not wish. Yeah. She did not intend on that.
And
yeah.
she also wished that she was the best player on her basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of her getting good at basketball, everyone else got fucking shit at basketball. So she was still terrible, but everyone else was even more terrible.
Exactly. So you should worry because if we all start, all our bits disappear, then comedy doesn't exist anymore. You can't do comedy.
His approach to life is the fucking plot of a Goosebumps.
That's so bad. So him. You're a bad guy.
A cautionary tale for children is what he's still living out.
You're saying, Taunts, that if you lose this, now that you've lost this COVID bit, if I'm happy about it, you will become so bad at comedy that you'll actually end comedy
I'll
in
end
Australia.
The genre.
Fuck.
You'll have nothing left, mate, except your radio show and your national TV.
RL stand-up.
Yeah. RL stand-up. I used to get scared. Do you remember they made the Goosebumps series into a TV show?
Mm.
I remember I was super young and I used to get I would get quite scared as a kid. Mm. I remember there was an episode with a mummy and not like a cool one that drinks white wine in the afternoon, like one in a...
like a tomb.
Yeah, a tomb. And I was scared for weeks after that.
Too much for you.
Too much. The Goosebumps stories were
also,
too much for me.
I think it also ruined Goosebumps for me because I feel like I first just knew what Goosebumps were.
Yeah.
And then I found out that Goosebumps, you know, the things when you get it.
Little things on your arms or whatever.
And I associated that with, because that can be a symptom of fear, but it can also be a symptom of like excitement, dare I say it, horniness as well.
Yeah.
But I still associate it with like, as you say, some sort of weird fucked clown under your bed.
Yeah. I hated
I'm 15. I'm like, oh, man. Is this meant to be happening now? I'm freaking out.
Speaking of horniness,
yes.
how do you guys feel about...
We like, don't go there on this.
it's a family show. How do you guys feel about the way in which COVID and lockdown has made it way more acceptable to be publicly horny online?
Mm.
Like, I saw... I don't know. If, during the Olympics...
I don't know about for men. Not to make it gendered.
Well, it shouldn't be.
But
yeah.
Like, I don't think it's not acceptable for dudes to put a picture of their dick on Instagram.
No, it's not the only way to express horniness.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Two separate tweets.
Your
one
asshole?
From...
I thought you were going to say, like, I saw some very horny behaviour. I saw this woman on the TV pole vaulting. I've never seen that before. I was watching the Olympics. I'm like, oh, calm down, honey.
It was during the 100-meter sprint.
Something. Oh, I know what you're after.
You know, like, the 100-meter sprint, obviously, the thing that everyone looks at during the Olympics.
Yep.
You know, it's the big, that final, you know. And during the 100-meter sprint, I saw two separate people, one of whom is quite a successful Australian playwright, she's a woman, and another man who's a TV producer, both tweet out that they were jerking off and masturbating to the 100-meter sprint. And everyone said it was like a funny thing. They were like, lol, these sprinters are hot, we're jerking off. And
but
I was like...
I think that's a joke.
Goodness
not
gracious
to,
me.
Not to go back to the whole comedy thing and your approach to it, but I think you've missed... I don't think they were actually jerking off.
Fuck, they've deleted
I thought tweets. You were talking about
no,
like people...
the tweets have been deleted now, so I reckon they were
There was
serious.
A Goosebumps about this too.
Because people were like loving it. People were loving it, and then a couple of people were like, hey... this is fucking weird and creepy, and then the tweets were deleted.
No, I think there is... people miss the mark, definitely.
Mm.
But also it's like the line between self-love and being like a creep is never been kind of like...
There's less going on, and so people are more inwardly reflective about kind of how they're feeling.
That's true.
Horniness is one of the things that people feel.
It's a natural emotion, you know?
But just there's less other shit to tweet about, so people are kind of...
That's true.
Well, and it's a bit trendy now to talk about.
Oh, it's so trendy to be horny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
not me. Virgin forever.
Exactly. I think it's unbecoming.
I think it is good. We were talking about being a Kennedy. You do that stuff in private. We were talking about that in the last podcast.
What's a Kennedy? Oh, it's
the American political family.
An adult is just being a Kennedy.
Pop your suit on.
That's what
don't show emotion,
is.
Have a smile, be horny, and they're very horny. They were horny people, but do that in private.
I've often thought that
during the happy birthday song, it's like, yep,
Nothing for me.
Not for me. It's like, that's very sexy. And you're sleeping with her. She's being very sexual. Yeah.
No.
Okay, let's not think about it. I think that if nudes of me leaked or whatever, or whatever, not that, you know, they ever would, but I hope not. I mean, this is not a challenge to hackers. But if it ever...
No, it is.
If
you're a hacker,
I'd love to see.
This is a challenge to
my
you.
My name is Sam Campbell and leak my nudes. No,
Michael.hing at hotmail.com is his iCloud password. And people don't usually update the password.
No.
Sorry, the account and the password's probably easy similar. To guess.
See, I think if my nudes leaked, I think it would actually be a good thing for me. You know? Because I think I'm so...
One of the more arrogant things I've ever heard.
Yeah. No, not because it looks good or anything.
It did. It has done wonders for people, though.
Not that... I mean, they'd be disgusting, obviously. But I think it would be maybe the most relatable thing that could come from my...
It happened to that comedian in the UK.
Joel Dommett.
Yeah. But he's hot. You know what I mean?
He was actually jerking off.
Oh, totally. Really?
Like, into his webcam.
I think it does make you... It gives you... a victim status if it was leaked by
terrible. Your consent. You know, when it happens to people, it's terrible. I'm just saying for me personally,
I think
it could be good for me.
I agree
career.
It would be good for you because it would get press, you would be seen as a victim, and people, because it is kind of trendy now to be horny, I agree that the photos would look fucked.
Especially
I agree with
because,
you.
Especially
that people
I'm
would
such a virgin,
pretend
you know what I mean?
To like them.
Yeah.
People would be like, oh my God, I think they're actually sexy. Good on him, but for proudly having his penis out like that.
Do you think people would be like, wow, it's so brave of him to jerk off
emojis
of penis with that disgusting body.
That's right. I think
it's actually body positivity for me to be sexual in any way.
Exactly. I think there would be a groundswell of support.
Dude, you should do it, Hink.
What? Leak my... No, I wouldn't leak. No, if a man leaks his own nudes, that's a fucking crime.
You got to get caught, though.
No, it needs to be like... Someone needs to, you know, hack it and steal
what
it.
Was just making
what were those things on Twitter that they got rid of and then it turned out everyone was doing... putting up nudes and stuff?
In Fleet?
I didn't even know they existed.
So there was a temporary...
No, I know that was Twitter Stories or whatever.
Story-esque function.
But what was the thing?
So basically, no one used them. So Twitter discontinued that functionality. And when they announced
Facebook
that there was like...
Facebook refuses to take that approach.
We'll not back down.
But I think in the last like 24 hours or something, people started... There was a trend that started like post a nude to the Fleets. That's kind of like a funny...
Is that one?
Like no really, one sees them or whatever.
It really kicked off.
Well, I mean, I think it did, but then they did get rid of them. But yeah, there was... I mean, I clicked through and people were posting... I mean, it was a good example again of just horniness.
Horniness.
Was
Bea Kennedy.
I remember there were people on Twitter doing like nudes for Black Lives Matter. Like, so it was like you'd send them $25 and then they would like send you a picture of their tits and donate the money. Or maybe not Black Lives Matter.
There was the lady who... during the bushfires.
Yeah, I think it was the bushfires,
during the Australian bushfires in 2019, 2020, she said... She was like an OnlyFans model or something. She was like, if you show me a receipt of like a $50 donation to the Australian bushfires, I'll send you like nudes of myself. But then she had to... She was so inundated with horny people being like, hey, here's my $50, you know, whatever, that she had to hire like staff just to send out the nudes.
So she'd already had the nude and then just hired people to send
it. So was it one piece or was she doing...
Yeah.
I think she started...
So she didn't hire people to take the nudes of themselves, because then if I pay $50 and I get one of you, I'm like, you're just the intern. I'm like, no, that's not what I paid for.
No, they were her nudes.
Okay.
But she wasn't sending out nudes of Michael Ng. I mean, no. I wish, frankly.
Yeah,
but I think it just got overwhelming. Because it was like tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people.
That
you know?
Is appropriate to me because she was an existing OnlyFans kind of sex worker
If you're already horny, so
that's all good
fun.
That's just using your thing to promote charity.
Absolutely.
It's the people that have no business in the sex work industry.
Well, it would be a fun...
and no real interest.
It would be a fun social experiment just next time there is like a big push for donate, just to have a crack yourself.
Hashtag,
see,
have a look at this.
Hing's doing it.
So
let's see what he can raise.
Next time there's some bushfires or something, like a horrible... Yeah. Or a horrible nationwide tragedy
which
of sorts.
Maybe start the fires to get this
going.
Okay,
let's not. No,
you're like, next time there's a horrible nationwide... What about what's going on right now?
I feel like...
This one we've missed, Dad.
I feel like COVID...
You're getting a bit. He's losing a bit. Yeah. Your bit is getting your cock out.
Get your cock out for COVID.
I feel like I've missed the boat on COVID. But next time there's like a proper, you know, if I said, I'll send you, if you donate $50 to the relevant charity, I'll send you a nude picture of myself.
Yes.
do you think, how many people in Australia do you think would actually say yes to that, genuinely?
Oh,
do you reckon it'd be more than 10?
I don't know. Yeah, I reckon you'd get 10.
Can I just ask a follow-up question? I think it would depend how nude you are in this photo. Because I think if you weren't actually nude, if there was no penis, someone would post that photo on Twitter or something. It's like, this is what you get. They'd leak it.
Yeah.
But if it was an actual nude, I think that would be frowned upon to do. So you'd get way more people. So we're talking actual penis?
I think I'd have to get my dick out and probably... I imagine I'd have to be jerking off, I imagine. Is that not... I don't know these things.
And like someone wants to send a video of him jerking.
You putting your arm behind your back, like, oh, they've got me.
Oh God, no! I guess I'm gonna jerk off.
I just think if you're selling nudes as a man, isn't that what people want to see? If you made $50 to see me nude and I wasn't joking, wouldn't you be annoyed?
Well, no, but are you, so what? So is it a still image or are you sending a video or a GIF, Neil?
Like, no, it's a still. I don't think I have the technology to do videos.
No, you just hold your dick. You don't have to. What are you just going to...
Sure, but
you're just like, I'm going to...
It's just, you're going to absolutely to town.
You just hire a photographer and you're like...
I had to do this. This is what was required of me.
I can't believe I'm saying this in the microphone. This is fucked. I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm just going to jerk off for 6 minutes, take as many photos as you can.
Yeah, do that. You know the iPhone thing where it takes 1,000 photos? Yeah. It's like slow motion. I'll do that, right?
They pay $50. You send them 10,000. It's like, oh my God.
What if you didn't do that, then they send back one being like, dude, I thought you were going to be jerking off. I want my money back.
Yeah.
I think it'd be just too much anyway.
Can I go back to my previous point? I think people would, they'd just enjoy the process of it. I don't think they'd be desperate to do much with the footage.
You think people would, yeah, sure.
I reckon you'd get 10.
10? You think?
Oh, you'd get heaps because it would be funny and interesting to see. I'd pay it.
Dude, you know what? If you did it.
You would pay $50 to see a nude photo of me.
To a charity of a cause I believed in. Yeah, instantly.
I think the cause would be relevant
to the tragedy. Whatever the tragedy is, would be relevant to the tragedy. And like, it won't be, it's not a scam at all.
Yeah, going
like,
to do it anyway.
Dude,
Why not see your penis?
It's like a funny bit. It is kind of subverting how like, other people do it, and this online horning. I think it actually is a winner.
Can I say how strongly I disagree? And I think I've seen it a few times of people that in their minds probably are, in inverted commas, subverting. Like, it's just they're just doing it. There's nothing subversive about it. It's just he's showing his penis.
I'm checking. Come talk, please. I'm checking.
What's the subversion exactly that he is doing? Well, I guess he didn't used to do it.
It's just have a look. Someone who isn't.
Yeah. It's like he's a private virgin god.
It's someone who's not traditionally horny or sexual in any way.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Being proactively sexual in a very public way.
I think that the issue with it is that that's how it would come across to you when you're imagining this.
Yes, yes.
Because you know that you kind of don't have much desire to do something like this. Yes. So the fact that you do it feels innately subversive.
Absolutely.
However, other people aren't in your brain.
Of course.
And what it would appear to them is that you've always been very secretly very horny. And this is finally, you're revealing your true self. And this is all you have.
Oh, he has to jerk off, does he?
Yes,
oh,
exactly. Well, it would change how people perceive you.
I think that about you with your comment being like, well, I guess I have to jerk off.
Exactly.
I already think that.
I think you want to do it.
You could start maybe an OnlyFans. Ease your way into it because then by the time you're ready to do it, you'd be like, no, I've got a track record of doing this stuff. Mm. I've had an OnlyFans for the last 18 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look, I'm definitely not going to do it now, so we can scratch that from the record.
Now I'm going to start a fire and frame you for doing it.
Wait, what? Why are you framing me for arson?
And then you're going to leak my nudes.
You're going to be the puppet master behind every element.
Oh, you mean a
bushfire?
I'm going to start a fire. I'm going to secretly take a photo of his penis, and I'm going to put up a thing for charity, like we've discussed, and pretend it's on behalf of him, and then frame him for
starting the fire
in order to get notoriety out of the penis.
Can I say that would be a hell of a story?
Prison, what a scam. And everyone's seen your penis. Who's more owned than that? You should get behind me, mate. Yeah. He's happy for you to go down because you're lost it.
You're my shining knight.
This is all payback because
that's how we get better comedians because he's out of the game. He's in prison.
Lost his COVID bit, and this is the. A year later, I'm in prison. My dick's everywhere on the internet.
It's even harder to get around in Sydney when you're in fucking Silverwater, mate. Everyone's seen your stupid balls.
You fucking firebug. And you got a weird dick, yeah.
It would be hard. I mean, actually, I don't think like...
I don't think it would be hard.
Well, I mean, he's, either way, if he's jerking off then
that's... I'm not going to be jerking off soft, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that I have a...
I would imagine every night over the last 2 weeks before this.
I would imagine that I would have the dedication to professionalism that I would conjure an erection for this.
Of course. My point would be, it's just kind of hard to... It'd be hard to almost to do stand-up afterwards.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, there's nothing funnier if, like,
yeah,
you could say on stage and an audience member yelling out, remember when you jerked off? Like, it's kind of, you are shooting yourself.
Show the photo again. Yeah. It's like you've done your best bit, like, 5 years into your career.
Totally. Opposed,
like, at the very, you should close with this just before you retire.
Yeah.
You release the nude pic.
All right, everyone, look at the photo.
Exactly. You're on, like... whatever the equivalent of Letterman is in Australia in 20 years, and you're like, I'm stepping back to kind of spend more time with my family.
It'll be the good stuff life. That'll
exactly.
That'll be the Letterman. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
God, you guys don't even believe me. Come on. You have to fake it yourself.
Yeah, it's Rove, but it's with us too. 20 years.
How did Tom go on your show?
Tom go on our show? He went pretty well, actually.
I can't talk about the
specifics of Tom being on the show because I don't want to give away the funny jokes that he did.
True.
But it was...
Were they numbers-based?
This show is called Letters and Numbers.
So the show's called Letters and Numbers. You might remember it as a little game show that happened in Australia about 10 years ago. They brought it back as like a comedy version of it.
Like 8 out of 10 cats do countdown.
Yeah, it's very similar to that, only I'm not Jimmy Carr. And please, if you're a fan of Jimmy Carr, don't watch this show and expect me to do that because you'll hate it.
Because you do mean one-liners, don't you?
Not really. I don't have it in me. I think when we did a little workshop in it, I did some mean one-liners then. It didn't feel right.
Yeah, I didn't get... I didn't make the cut. I did the audition and didn't...
Hang on.
What happened here?
Oh, we can come back to that. I'll talk about Tom first.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it because I think that's funny.
In about half an hour, we'll get back to
that. Yeah, we'll get back to it. We're all out of time.
This is your show. You can wrap up whatever you want. So Tom came on the show. He was doing what they call a guest spot on it. So there's a couple of... There's like three contestants.
Yeah.
And then there's a person who is like a guest on the show, is like a special guest on the show in Dictionary Corner. And they get like 3 to 5 minutes just to do like either a bit of stand-up or a song, or Tom did some of his little graphs.
That's kind of patronizing. What's that about?
Yeah, I mean, he knows what he does.
He does
some of his little graphs, and it was very, very funny. But I don't want to give away any of the jokes, but they were very funny. I can probably tell that one that we'll cut out. Oh, we'll talk about it afterwards. Yeah. We don't need to say that. The one that will get cut out. Yeah.
Yeah, so Richard Moorcroft used to...
Love Richard Moorcroft.
He used to host the show, and I talked about the old show 10 years ago. And I was like, well, this guy's no longer on it. More like Richard Lescroft. I was doing pretty well at that stage. There were laughs in the room and it was just absolute silence.
And they're just...
What's wrong with them? And then Merrick goes, mate, he died. And I'm like, he didn't. I looked it up yesterday because I was worried about that. He lives down south with his wife. He's alive. And Merrick's like, mate, I'm kidding.
It spiraled a bit.
Did Merrick get a laugh?
Yeah, of course he did.
He's an absolute pro, that guy.
Anyway, so that definitely won't make the cut, I imagine, because it was a real tank.
Merrick was trying to save you.
No, he was fucking with me. He knew it was all out and he was just fucking with me.
But I think that it might not come out till next year. That's probably one of the later ones, I imagine.
Totally.
Because it does. Oh, actually, I have no idea.
Hear from Richard Moorcroft? Did he get in touch?
I don't know him, but the two other people on the show who were there in every episode, Lily and David, I think they're all like on a group chat or whatever. So he knew about stuff.
And did he give you the group chat with like his blessing?
He didn't give me specifically the blessing, but I think he knew that the production was very happy about it. But I've never spoken to him. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's like an old guy. I don't think he would have wanted to do a comedy version of the show, you know? I think it would have been like weird for him to host the show.
It was the driest show in the absolute world, the original, which was what was so nice about it. It was very relaxing because it was just two contestants that were like... the ultimate dweebs.
Yeah, like genuine maths and
just like
language
normal
nerds.
People who just were like good at the quizzes. So no banter from them. Every now and then when there was a bit of banter, Richard Moorcroft would go, yes, and then look back at the camera and then...
He's a dry guy. Nothing indulged.
Yeah, I mean, he's a newsreader, you know.
Which was perfect. Yeah. It was just all about the quiz. It was the most pure quiz show on television. Almost.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So anyway, that's how Tom went on the show. He crushed. It'll come out probably next year, I think.
Can I ask a few questions based on me being there? One was I got accused during the record of talking too much.
By
do you remember this? by one of the other contestants.
This is why we got Hing in.
Oh, I forget her name.
I reckon it was that episode was a longer record, and you were interjecting more than someone in that position usually does. But yes. I don't think it was like bad necessarily.
Sure.
I think that person was kind of making a joke as well.
Do you think there was a basis of truth?
Definitely. But there was a sort of...
I think at the time, responding to a question I've been asked by you.
Yes. Well, here's the thing.
But I had interjected a few times.
Before then.
Yes.
And I think at that moment when they said that,
yes,
they had, on a previous episode, played into the idea of their character because they're an actor.
Yes.
They were doing a character.
No, sorry. But their comedic
has
character...
has changed since Moorcroft.
She was playing a character of a meanie.
They're an actor. And on the show... I don't know. Who knows if any of this fucking stuff will make the cut. Mm. But in the show, they were doing like a funny comedic character bit where they were being, as an actor, everything has to be about me.
Oh, so she was trying to do that again.
That was
maybe
kind of an ongoing joke. And so, and then...
which is what she was trying to say to, yeah.
Exactly. So I think there may have been, I think at that moment when she said that, I imagine, knowing this person, she was probably trying to play that bit.
Yes.
And then I think maybe because not everyone was on board and didn't know and knew about it, I think it felt a bit weird in the moment. I imagine fix it in the edit is what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. That's not staying in.
To support my friend Tom Cashman, the rule is on these shows, and we've all you just talk as much as you want. They edit it. Like, you can't be mean at someone else for saying something funny.
Totally.
But I agree with that analysis. Mm. She was probably calling back to something.
She was previously. But she's not a comedian. You know what I mean? She's very funny. She's not a comedian. So I think it was probably just a kind of a complicated bit that had didn't have all the strings attached to it necessarily.
That makes sense. I've got another question. Uh-huh. Two other questions based on my experience.
Then we'll get to your experience, Sam. Don't worry.
Well, look,
if we have time.
There was also an audience of people who were paid to be there
During COVID, we weren't allowed to have an audience. But they paid actors, basically, extras.
Some of whom were comedians.
Yeah. Which I didn't know about. But, you know, day's work, and if you like, there's no fucking comedy on right now.
Totally,
so people just taking gigs.
Totally.
And they were all fucking great.
Yeah.
What do you mean they were great? They just had to sit there.
Laugh? No,
they,
laugh.
They,
you
had
to laugh.
So they did have to laugh.
They were doing three records a day as well. That's like 6 hours of laughing.
3 hours a day. And they had to
my God.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an acting
role. If you've ever been to a studio audience taping for a television show, they're a fucking nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, you turn up, you got to sit there for like 3 or 4 hours. There's no wait. Like, everything's boring and then it's exciting and it's a short burst of action and then just long bits of waiting around.
Mm.
And it's like, it fucking sucks. And it's terrible. And
this one was pretty snappy, but you were doing three a day.
Did you do warm-up?
No. Philby did, actually. Steve Philby.
Oh,
fucking crushed.
Yeah, that
he was really good
at it.
But he was, again, warming up with an audience of people who were actors and comedians who were being paid to be there, right? And they also gave them food and stuff as well. So
but then he was saying he took control because there were only like 14 or so spots and they were doing it in like multiple days in a row and like three recordings a day. So he was like, if someone wasn't laughing, he's like, you're out. Tomorrow you're not invited back.
Oh, my God.
And he'd replace with
a
comedian.
By the end.
Because he was like, everyone needs to be laughing.
This is a new way we do studio audiences. I'm going to do that for my Melbourne show. So I'm going to pay everyone there.
So like, and like, otherwise, if you don't have an audience, these panel shows, they feel it's a fucking dead zone, you know? And that's unfortunate because like, sometimes you've got to like record like that and it just fucking sucks because you're laughing amongst yourselves, but it sounds like a fucking podcast, you know? And so we were really, like, I was really, really lucky. A couple of times I would do a joke and it would, for whatever reason, we'd have to do it again because we'd be talking over each other or I would mess up a word or something.
Yeah.
And the audience would give a great laugh and I just have to be like, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry, guys. Gonna have to do that again because I fucked up.
Yeah.
And usually when you do that, the second time that you get a laugh, never as good, obviously, because I've heard the joke before.
Mm.
But these guys, man, every time, fucking better and better. It was great. The show, I think, is going to... I'm going to look really great. But not because I'm good.
The audience is going to...
The paid audience.
The viewers will sniff a rat. They'll be like, come on. It's a paid... Once this gets out, that this is what you're doing. It's going to be a huge scandal.
Well, you had to pay them, though, because of COVID, you couldn't have randoms in. And everyone like had to be... tested and stuff and everyone had to be, you know, isolated and whatever else. So it was like, you know, it was a pretty all-encompassing
just when
project.
You find out these things about TV, the magic disappears, you know. Now the audience isn't even real.
Up until this point,
I'm never going to be able to watch The Voice again properly.
Oh, no, that's all right.
That's an exception.
Yeah.
My other question was
that... And then we will get to your story.
So No, I think we move on from
I wasn't... So for anyone listening who's not familiar with this game, I was a big fan of it back in the day, but there's two games. One is... There's a number of, there's like five numbers, or maybe six.
Yeah, six
and
numbers.
Then there's a, that are kind of randomly come up. Mm-hmm. And then you have to use those numbers by either plussing them together or minusing them or multiplying them or dividing them to get to some goal number, which is also randomly generated. So that's one of the puzzles and you've got 30 seconds to do it. And then the other one is there's nine letters.
Nine letters.
And you've got to think of the word that's the biggest word out of those letters.
Mm. So it's unscramble them kind of like a bottle or whatever.
I wasn't competing. As we mentioned already, but there was one time which made me very happy. Who cares if it stays in the edit or whatever? Because I used to watch this show.
Yeah,
I got within 10 on the numbers game. Oh. All the contestants they didn't get it, so I got to like talk Lily through the process, the solution.
Doesn't it feel great to get it to get good though?
Which is which was a lot of fun.
But then, smart on TV.
I know it's pretty good. I got to.
So eat. Who's Lily the genius?
Lily's she's the maths genius on the show. So she's a mathematician. I think she's got a PhD in, or she was doing a PhD at uni, in maths and stuff. And she works as a data analyst, a data scientist now. She's like a fucking proper maths brain.
Wow.
And she does it all in her head. Like when she looks at, she looks at the numbers, there's no one in her ear like telling her here's how to do it. She just
also
does
it not
right
that hard though, I think, most of the time. If you know
If you're a math person.
Yeah. She was talking about like 75 times tables. But this gets me to my question. At one point the host, you're not participating in these games. You're like, I've solved it.
Yeah.
And then solved it.
Yeah.
How much of that did you do? And were you jealous of not
like,
being, because you were, he was like better than most of the people.
Are you a good math guy?
Yeah, I mean, I got pretty good at the games because I was doing
actually just doing maths.
By the end of it, the maths ones I was always pretty good at. I reckon I got eight out of 10 of them, maybe 9 out of 10 of them. I was getting 80 or 90% of them.
So you just said doing them in that. I guess what else are you going to do in that 30 seconds? What, you got
to
kill 30 seconds?
But I had to be pretty, by the end, because this is, I don't know if this is funny or whatever, but it's definitely not funny.
None of it's been funny.
Yeah, none of it's good. But because we're doing so many a day and the record days required so much energy from me and I felt sometimes I was flagging towards the end, I realized that the reason I was getting exhausted is because I was playing the games every time. So I was like, my brain was getting tired.
Totally.
So what I would do by the end was I would look at the maths thing. If I immediately got it within like 3 seconds, I'd be like, oh, I get it. But if it took a while, I wouldn't try too hard.
Mm.
So by the end, I was only getting like maybe half of them or whatever, but I'd get them within 3 seconds.
It's a roundabout way of saying that you got half of them in 3 seconds.
Basically, yeah.
What? It's crazy.
It's not like once you do it.
You should swap with Lily.
No, I like my job better. I get to,
you can do the job. Is she funny?
She's pretty funny. Yeah, for a non-comedian,
being straight, not being funny way.
Yeah. But I think you wouldn't want someone in that role who's like a, if you had me in that role, it'd be a disaster.
Who was the worst at it of all the guests?
Worst at the show or worst at the puzzles?
The puzzles, sorry.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
No, yeah, not...
oh, no, just the fucking bullshit guests we had. That was great. That was really lovely. We really thank them for their time. Obviously, we're SBS, so we can't pay a lot of money. who was really bad at them? People got better as it went on.
Mm.
So Merrick started off really bad, but then he did a couple of eps and got really, really good.
Mm.
Nina Oyama was pretty bad at a lot of them, but then she got pretty good because she got really competitive.
Yeah.
Right. So and once people realize, they're playing the game for real, then they like really focus
in. Totally.
It was kind of hard because like a lot of people who were bad at the puzzles ended up being really funny with them because they'd make up funny words or they'd just do funny riffs instead of the
creative
thing. So it's
thinkers.
Like, it's like...
Classic way to shield ineptitude. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, at the end of the day, the show you're making is like a funny show. So it doesn't... like, it's actually better for the show. If everyone was just like fucking maths genius and they did
it totally.
It would have been boring TV.
Totally. Excuses. I remember Semen came up.
Penis,
C-N-M.
Maybe.
Or C-N-M, I think.
I think
penis came up as well.
Yeah. This is
Jesus, a bit rude.
Now, Taunts, would you like to ask me about how you auditioned or did a workshop for the show?
I did the workshop for the show. I just found out you've wrapped. I've been waiting for the call. Like, I've been waiting to get on. I did the workshop. I probably did that thing you just said, Tom, whereas I threw a few of the puzzles.
I thought you were pretty good in that workshop.
I went for laughs, but also I got told afterwards that because I didn't know the rules to the game, that it was a bit of a... Because I didn't research before.
I didn't... I honestly think you did the best you could have done out of that. Mm. And if it was up to me, if I was casting the show...
I mean, this is... I love to hear this thing. No, but honestly... It's empty words, mate.
Obviously, my hands were tied.
Well, all you've got to say is I'm walking if Taunton's not on the show. Then they lose a host. They're going to be like, we better find room for it.
You wait until the first day of filming.
I didn't even get the call to be a paid audience member.
$200 to
see. Got no work from this goddamn production.
I reckon, and this is not... Oh, fuck, this is probably going to get me cancelled. But I reckon because it's an SBS show, there were probably certain...
they
diversity
didn't
requirements
want gay lords
across,
on the show.
Wow,
that's absolutely
not yep. my word. But because it's an SBS show, I think there are certain, like... domestic, like, I don't know if quotas is the wrong word, but like targets they have to meet, right?
So how did Tom get on?
Well, because he's got this brain thing, you know?
Oh.
He's neurodivergent, you know?
Okay.
So those little graphs and puzzles.
Okay, it all checks out. So you're saying...
So I think a lot of the...
So it's the beginning of the end for white guys is what I'm hearing here.
If you're going to be white, you're going to have to solve a few puzzles.
What we have right now, this is straight from the top of a TV. It is harder for white men. The tables have turned.
I guess it is hard for white men to get a show on SBS.
Yeah.
But I will say...
It's pretty uncontroversial.
I wasn't doing it in the casting. I would have loved to be involved in the casting, but I was like, hey, can I get involved? They were like, this is not your job. Stay in your fucking lane. And I'm like,
I mean, yeah,
at the end
of
the day, I'm like, fair enough. I
tried to run into that meeting. He's best. He's grabbing at the door.
I had like one chat with them and they were like, no. And I'm like, fair enough. Like, did not fight very hard to be a part of it. But I think if I was the producer who was casting this, I think the difficulty you would find yourself in, Taunts,
okay,
is just say they go, and this is not me having any inside knowledge about how it worked. Mm. Luckily, it's a black box that I was not, you know, privy to.
Black box.
Yeah,
I know what it is. Surely they weren't giving it that tight.
Yeah, I don't know.
The casting process within the quiz show you worked on.
Well, I just mean I never spoke to anyone about it.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Like, well, there were a couple of people who they were like, will you work with this person? I was like, absolutely.
Right. Well, so my girlfriend was working at ITV at the time on another show, but she sat next to the people on that product. What's the show called? What's it called? Letters and Numbers.
Yeah.
And she came home one day and she goes, oh, I saw the casting board. They had everyone's pictures up on the board. And I said, was mine there? And she goes, no, nowhere to be seen.
You got to get me on that whiteboard, honey. Tomorrow,
I was like,
take this headshot.
I gave her a little passport size photo. I'm like, just pop it on there for tomorrow. Was there another whiteboard with the audience? Maybe get me on that one.
And then under it, write Greek? Question mark.
Here's the
Mediterranean.
The difficulty, right, is that if you're at SBS, when your mandate is to serve, you know, multicultural,
of course, yes,
like whatever, different diverse communities, et cetera, right? Then a little bit, and this is unfortunate, a little bit it is going to be box sticky probably. They're going to be like, hey, we need Chinese representation. We need, you know, indigenous representation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. When we get to the point where we're like, hey, we need white male representation.
There's a lot.
Well, it's not just there's a lot, but there's a lot of people who are probably further along in their careers than you, right? So when we're going to get Taunts in, it's like you're up against Hamish Blake. Do you know what I mean? And I can imagine
Tom Cashman.
You're up against titans of industry like Tom Cashman.
I mean, you know.
At least Cashman's got his little grass. You know, you're turning up and doing the same.
Mate, I've lost a bit. Not only have I lost this bit, I've also lost so much work from this whole kind of situation.
Again, specifically from SBS, the Special Broadcasting Service, you know.
I mean, look, it is fine. Easily. It's fine. I guess me and Moorcroft have to sit this one out. That's fine.
First they come for Moorcroft, I said nothing.
Yeah. I mean, Torts, I've given you other work before. You know I like
you.
Oh,
mate, you're a great guy. No. Yeah. Season two, you know, just get me in there.
Season two's already filmed, but you know, like, if we get a third season.
Just get me into that black box, you know. Yeah, I'll go back. I mean, there's nothing more I could do.
If we did it,
I showed my hand. I said, "This is all I've got,
well,
guys."
Also, I genuinely think you were very funny in the workshop you did. You know,
yeah.
And I think the reason I say that is like I don't think you could have walked away from that and been like, "Oh, that guy's not funny," like because you were crushing in there. You know what I mean?
You're hearing this?
Yeah, it's not bad.
So this is why I think it must have been an SBS thing.
What's this preparation thing? You said you didn't prepare.
Didn't learn the game.
I just walked in and they said, "They said, do you not know the games?" And I was like, "And I said, could you give me a run through?"
A couple of people who...
And I heard that afterwards.
Yeah.
From my agent, I heard that was a no-no.
Really? Yes. Okay. Well,
I didn't...
No one said that to me.
I also got an email, maybe from the Black Box people, yeah. I don't know, saying you don't have to prepare.
Yes.
So I took that and... I get it now.
But having said that, there were a couple of people who turned up to the actual taping. And we're like, how does this work? What show is this?
Oh, my God.
And what? I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh. And so, and then the reason that was...
Competitors.
Yeah. And that was annoying is because then you got to spend like 15 minutes explaining the game.
You lose time.
And then it's like, we've got to do 3 of these a day. And if that happens every time, then we're going to hear it an hour later. And that costs however many thousands of dollars because everyone's got to be paid, et cetera, et cetera.
That makes me laugh, though, because I had to set up my computer. And then it was a bit of a rush. And I was sitting there. And then there was like the director of the episode and like... Two producer people, I'm on my computer, standing over me, being like, and then when, like, giving different instructions about different things, and it was fine because all I needed to do was plug it in and wasn't that complicated, but there was a bit of, it was all at once. That kind of situation where there's a lot of people, but they're explaining like a maths game. So then there's going to be a 10, and then a 25, and then a 40, and then a 20, and then you've got to multiply or divide. And you're like, can we do an example? Like,
well, that actually is quite
extremely
daunting.
Stressful.
Like when you explain the game, I remember when I was in there, I was like, Jesus. Mm.
I know, I was like, I'm an idiot on TV or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm excited to watch the series and, see how you guys all go.
Two, maybe come back for season. I reckon season 3. If there's a season 3,
there will be for sure.
Well, you know, if there's
what does it
three,
have to do to get renewed?
Yeah, how does that work with SBS? Do they care about views? You've worked there for
years.
They
do a little bit, yeah. They don't care entirely.
You
could
not care.
Yeah,
at all.
Don't care entirely. Like when I was at the feed, we would have meetings where we'd talk about this week was 100,000 viewers, this week was 30,000 viewers or whatever the fuck, I don't know. And they'd talk about replays and
God,
online
that's a
views
big up and down.
But fuck it, man, it's up and down. Because also, it's not like the survey people are out there actually surveying 100,000 people. They're surveying like 100 people. Yeah. You know?
I've
been cross-checking. Tom Gleason's been lying about his ratings for Hard Quiz. I've been checking. He puts like, he'll put up the numbers and he'll be like, Hard Quiz, 1.1 million.
There's different companies.
And then I check them the next. It's like 600,000.
There's different.
How can it be 400,000? And maybe it's not including. I know everyone only really cares about Metro, which is a discredit. I mean, that's probably a problem of wider Australia as well. It's very metropolitan dominated, big cities. People forget about the little guy.
Yeah.
But like, surely it can't be that big in the difference.
Yeah, one of them on a quiz show, one little guy. I want to represent the country. Good old fashioned town. Yeah, I know the public.
Well, Richard Moorcroft.
What the fuck I'm doing here?
He's living down in Jervis Bay. So we're the same guys. Just forgetting about the South Coast boys. Gleason's been lying about the ratings.
Fuck.
So obviously he doesn't. That's how little the ABC care.
I think there are a lot of discrepancies in the numbers when they come out because there's like the immediate numbers and they release a second lot of numbers that are more refined, but then also they only like there's like different companies that do it and stuff, so there's different like you can it's like anything you can pay to find whatever the fucking data you want, you know
like the big
feels
problem,
like it's not in anyone's interests to get accurate data either.
But this is why I'm like, why do SBS or ABC? Because I get the commercial channels care.
Well, SBS has
their business
ads,
models.
SBS has ads now,
but not that many.
No, right? They just have.
But still,
not as
you
many
need to be able to
commercial.
Show. Yeah,
I just thought they were for like other, like it'd just be like for the Iron Chef or
but
something.
Yeah, like, but I think they had like they have different shows. So there are shows. I mean, again, I don't fucking know how everything works there. But the way it was explained to me by someone who worked there,
you know about the black box.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the black box. I just know about its existence.
You don't know the code to get into the black box. But
so like there
you
are
know,
some
actually,
shows.
If you're the pilot, then what you say is what goes into the black box.
There are
and
like,
you were the pilot of this particular project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are like some shows that you would do. You're like, this is going to rate fucking dog shit, but it's important to do it to serve a particular community or to tell a certain story or whatever. And no one's going to watch it except for, you know, five people watch it, but it'll be the most meaningful
idiots
piece of television
like
that's ever made.
Quizzes and stuff.
Yeah. And then other shows, like, there'll be other shows that, for example, a quiz show, for example, which has such broad appeal. Word problems.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Taunts, the end of that was, I thought you were very funny, and I'm sorry you didn't get to do the show.
Oh, no, look, I just thought it'd be funny to talk about.
But if there's a season 3, I reckon I've got a pretty good, if it happens.
I also have no power. And
no, yeah, if there's exactly. a season three, I reckon I could argue to be like, hey, can I be a bit more involved in the casting process? So if there's a season three and you don't get asked, then you can come to me.
Then I can come back. Noise. That's interesting.
Okay, I'll say that to you now.
Okay. I just thought of something. Okay. Yeah. So you know how the issues they have with the ratings is that they don't actually know how many people are watching the screen.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like there could be a family of six.
How do they measure it though? Don't they measure it? Is that there
I think
box?
It's a survey, right?
Yeah,
or a few houses have the box.
Yeah.
Why don't they build a webcam into all TVs?
Yeah.
And so every time you turn it on, that webcam is now watching you watching right. it.
A while ago, maybe a couple of months ago, Tom and I were talking about radio ratings.
Yeah.
And I think I was trying to explain to you the
books. It's a fucking logbook.
Yeah, it's a fucking logbook.
What do you mean it's a logbook?
They just ask people and then they fill in when they reckon stickers. They were listening. If you had to say when you listened to the radio this week, you'd have no fucking idea, clue.
Right? Yeah, but they just give you a book and a bunch of stickers and then you do it, right? Anyway.
They make it up.
I was told by someone that in Europe they did this thing where they put a necklace on you that listened to everything that you listened to and then matched that with the thing. And they told me that it wasn't. They were like, "Yeah, but it didn't get continued because it wasn't
ethical
enough."
Well, I was told that it wasn't accurate, and I was like, "How could that not be accurate? That's crazy." So then, since we had our chat, I went and did some research, and it turns out it was just an incredible human rights violation.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Because you were just picking up like conversations. Yeah, man, it was all being recorded.
Yeah, like the webcam in the living room. Like, why don't they just give?
There's going to be pushback at first, but they shut the pubs. At the moment, Tom, like people will get behind it after a while.
Oh, you think people will just to avoid a mass pandemic death is the same as the motivation people will feel to have accurate ratings.
Well, if they understood the value of advertising dollars
a bit more, will be commissioned a bit more frequently. That would be the benefit to the consumer.
Absolutely.
I guess the other problem with like ABC and SBS is.
Oh shit! Sorry, I set a timer.
I think the other problem with like ABC and SBS is you've got to be popular, but not too popular. Because if you're too popular, then it's like, why isn't this on? Why aren't the commercial stations doing this? You know what I mean? So I think Gleason's in a difficult position. So
good though, surely. Who would be mad at that?
No, but he can still use
people
that
are
as
like,
leverage
well, then you're just
on a
stealing
contract.
Jobs from the private sector. Do you know what I mean?
People say that.
Of course they do. People fucking hate the SBS.
Oh, come on, that's silly.
Are you kidding? Who is using that argument?
People, I mean, like psychos in comment sections, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you're stealing work from
the private sector. Yeah, because they're like, well, Channel 9 needs to work out how to make money, and this is 1,000 jobs over there, and that's feeding back. You're just a bunch of bureaucrats. You know, people fucking.
But that's just a crazy person in the comment section. You could. There's like an ABC charter.
Many of these crazy people in comment sections get elected to parliament, you know what I mean? And then there becomes a whole political, you know.
Who's that guy that messaged? He sent me two messages. Craig Kelly
Craig
sent me
Kelly,
two messages.
He's my old MP from Illawong.
Oh.
Who's my local member.
Right. Did you ever meet him?
Yeah, he doesn't seem very bright.
You met him?
Well, like 10 years
ago. Well, you went to a rally with him, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I was riding a horse. I was doing some fire twirling. Yeah. No, I didn't go to a rally with Craig Kelly.
I knew your nipples from somewhere.
His crew be handing out stuff around the shops in the, you know. I don't know if I've ever had a conversation with him, but you see him around.
Totally. Here's another way you could measure ratings.
Yep.
I did a market research thing once where they put a machine to, like, it's pretty similar to what you're saying, but it's not filming. It's an eye tracker and it tracks your pupils to see what you're looking at.
Dude.
Specifically for this purpose. And they would show you a photo of like a shop, like a Woolies, an aisle. With the different colours of different products like cereals
and what caught your
arranged
eye.
And exactly where your eye goes first, second, third, fourth. And I think they didn't want first. They want like third. They want to see where your eyes settle. Oh. Yeah, go first and then settle.
When I was at uni,
when they're watching, but like what they're watching in the thing.
Yeah, that's good.
And imagine if everyone was looking at your nips during the thing. It's like we've got data on.
When I was...
King's nips are a winner.
Hey, they keep looking at his...
Season three.
...off for some reason. I had to. When I was at uni, I did a theatre subject for one semester. Mm. And one of the lecturers, their research or whatever, their area of study, was they put that fucking computer on people's brains while they watch theatre.
Oh.
And this is like 20 years ago or whatever.
And
like
everyone fell asleep.
But they found that
100% eyes closed by the end of it.
They were like even at the theatre, like the most like the theatre or whatever, like the fucking fanciest shit. It's like dudes are just looking at titties and asses. And according to the research, women were just looking at thighs and crotches.
Really?
Yeah, everyone's just being horny crotches. All the time at theatre.
That's awesome.
That was I mean, they were doing Shakespeare, so I think there was some sort of bulging happening that was... People were...
It was a rowdy show. Yeah. It was real raunchy.
This was like research that was done in the 90s that we then had to learn about in the 2000s. So I'm sure it's been refined since then.
Well, probably not, though. That's what draws the eye. Dude, I mean, this is the reason why advertising, they often have sexy people.
TNA.
They have the most data on this. They're the ones doing the market research. And they know that we like looking
movie stars, hotties, and they're on the movies all the time.
Meanwhile, podcasters, fucking uggos, a lot of them, you know?
Well, you just can't see.
Yeah, but have... Erotic voices. Right, guys? Horny voices. Amorous voices.
Well, the end is like near... That rating system can't last. Because like every other metric now online you can check. Like you can check podcast downloads, like views and stuff.
So it's crazy. Exactly when you...
Pardon?
I said you can't lie to advertisers with a podcast.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so it's like...
He did.
I tried, but we didn't get them. We didn't get picked up. Another failure for me.
Did you get this for free?
No, what do you mean? We're not in it. We're in a separate room. What do you
I mean, like, did you get all the equipment you guys are using? Did you get all that all for free?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good then.
I mean, by free, we don't own it.
Oh, I see.
We never had it.
I thought
it was never ours. In fact, I don't know we're doing this. So.
We have stolen it for a bit.
It's just in this place.
Right. Okay.
And Tom has a swipe card. Yeah.
Do listeners know where this is? No. Where you guys record this?
One does. The guy down at the bottle shop.
Oh, our friend. Yeah, he's always like, "You're on your way for a podcast, mate." And then he said, "I said, mate, we're getting better. Start listening because he used to listen."
Actually, cut all this out.
He said he hadn't listened for a while, and I was like, "Mate, we've hit our straps again."
6 months ago, or
no, this was probably two podcasts ago.
Oh, we lost him.
He just said he got busy with.
You're out there fucking begging people individually to tune back in.
I was
not even to give it a listen.
I was buying a six-pack of beer. Okay. I was making small talk. He's like, "You're off to the podcast." And I was like, "Yeah, have you been listening?" And he's like, "Oh, mate, you know,
looking enough
life gets tough." He's like, "I moved to house."
All these cases, they need to be cold. Like, I've got to get in there.
I listen to Corona Cast, mate. There's no room on my downloads anymore.
That's what I need. Anyway, the show's on October 2nd, Saturday at 8:30.
I can't wait. And what episode's Tom on?
I don't know yet. There's 24 episodes that have been made. He's in one of them.
When does it start, did you say?
2nd of October, I think. Whatever the first Saturday in October is, yeah.
Right.
And there's 12 eps in this season, and then there'll be 12 more that come out next year. So Cashman could be in the next year's lot, but I don't know.
Who knows?
Has
anyone
got... tune in for season 3?
we'll get Tots on.
Look, one day. What if I end up hosting that goddamn show?
Fuck.
And then Hing's begging me to get on the show.
Imagine
if the power dynamic shifted where I was the king.
And then I want to do something psycho and just send him like a Christmas present of a black box or something. Like just really... I've never done anything crazy like that.
And a burnt match.
You did it, mate.
If you touch this, your fingerprints are on it.
Greg, I had a running joke with Greg Larson where I said he could never make me come. I don't know why. And I thought it would be really funny one year to send him like a little vial and put something that looks like cum in it and send it to him.
Sure. Like the American Pie thing.
Is that an American Pie? I don't know.
They did that, didn't they?
They fucked the pie.
Was that Van Wilder? One of those American Party, they came into a pie and everyone ate it.
Oh, God. Well, I wasn't going to come in a pie. I was going to send him like a jar or something, like a little test tube or something with something that looked like cum in it.
Yeah,
but then I was like...
That's way better.
Well,
yeah, it's awesome, dude.
I was like,
the same mind that's like, I should probably be jerking off for the photos.
And I was like, this will be funny or whatever. And then like the second I was like, I thought about it all. I'm like, oh, that's definitely still a crime. Like you can't...
Even to send a simple icing sugar to someone.
Of course, it should be a crime.
No, how's that a crime?
Because it's
a bit of a practical joke. Next you'll be telling me a whoopee cushion's illegal. Because it sounds like a fart.
I feel like if
it's
someone
a
who
false
wasn't...
diagnosis of a medical issue, flatulence can actually be quite dangerous.
My worry is that if someone who wasn't Greg happened to see it, then...
What, they would just think you're gross and yuck.
Yeah, and therefore
that's not illegal. Hing.
You're a lawyer. Is it illegal to send a vial of cum to my friend Greg in the mail?
I'm actually completely across cum law.
He specialises.
I decided against it because I was like, no, Hing.
I'm trying to think of what laws could apply. I think there could be some sort of restrictions around sending body parts or body fluids mail.
God, that's not dangerous or something.
Yeah, that's not sufficiently sealed or something. I can think of that being something.
And also,
would it be illegal in your mind? Because it's of the rudeness.
Yeah, because it's rude. But also, to be clear, Greg would have been into it. Like, Greg kept asking me for my cum.
Imagine the poor Australia Post worker looking for some cash and finding some cum.
Well, that'll show you for going through people's mail.
Yeah,
right?
Dude, that's actually, maybe you should always put cum in there when you're trying to move cash across.
I coat all my letters in cum, not because I have a disorder. It's because I am trying to combat mail fraud.
Teach someone a lesson.
Has anyone got anything else to say?
Not particularly.
No, I'm all good.
Thanks
all
for
good.
Coming.
No, thanks for having me on
thanks
the call.
Thanks for doing it, dude.
Edit out all the fucked stuff.
No.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shane, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.